Edward Bocking, monk and doctor of divinity, being against the king's grace, his purposed marriage, and oftentimes in the presence of the false nun of St. Sepulchre's in Canterbury, famously railing against the same marriage with all the personages, document damaged, that he could make to the detraction and derogation thereof, affirming that the marriage did not stand with the law of God, and that God would be so sore displeased therewithal. When he had thus well prepared and disposed the said nun's affection contrary to the said marriage, and had right well perceived that her mind was inclined, then he moved and exhorted her to make petition to Almighty God to know his pleasure and judgment concerning the said intended marriage. And so the said false nun, perceiving how vehemently the said doctor was bent against the said marriage, willing to satisfy his desire according to his pleasure and expectation, counterfeited and feigned that she had a revelation from God, that if the King's Highness married the Queen Graces, that now is he should not be king a month after that. And when the King's Grace, after the confirmation of his said marriage, had continued in good health, honour and prosperity more than a month, the said doctor showed the said nun that as King Saul abjected from his kingdom by God, that continued king in the sight of the world, so her said revelation might be taken. And thereupon the said nun, upon this information of the said doctor, forged another revelation to be seen from her to God, from God, that the foresaid revelation should be thus understood, that the king's grace should not be king in the expectation of God, not 1 month nor 1 hour after he married the queen's grace that now is. This feigned revelation encouraged the king's subjects to believe that God took the king's grace for no king of this realm, and that they should likewise take him for no righteous king, and themselves not being bounden to be his subjects, which might have put the king and the queen's grace in jeopardy of their unclear and their issue, and that people of this realm great danger and destruction, if this falsehood had not been detected and opened through the grace of Almighty God. Not willing such a conspiracy to continue unknown, document damaged, against so noble and virtuous king and queen as their graces be. Also, the said monk and nun have not been content to keep their falsehood secret to themselves, but they have communicated the same to others in a great number and unclear of those who have likewise showed the same abroad among the king's people. Both high and low especially have showed it to such as they perceived not to favour the king's grace marriage, which he now enjoyed, and to few else, whereby it appeared that they conspired to animate and comfort all such whose minds were contrary to that marriage, to stand still in their opinion, and to trust to have the higher hand under the pretence that God was sore displeased, both with the purpose and with the accomplishment of the said marriage. Over this, the said nun hath practised with two of the Pope's ambassadors within this realm, the one named M. Sylvester Darius, the other Antony Pullion, and hath sent word to the Pope that if he did not his duty in reformation of kings, God would destroy them at a certain day, which she appointed, by reason whereof it is to be supposed that the Pope hath showed himself so doubtful and so deceivable to the king's grace in his great cause of marriage, as he hath contrary to all truth, justice and equity. As likewise the late Cardinal of England, brackets Wolsey, and the late Bishop of Canterbury, brackets William Warham, being as well minded to further and to set it at an end, the marriage, the which the king's grace now enjoyed, according to their spiritual duty, were persuaded by the false revelations of the said nun, and that the said Bishop of Canterbury was so minded. It may be proved by divers, which knew that his towardness, and also by his pronunciation, which he made from the Pope.